Today is Ash Wednesday, and the epistle for this Mass is taken from the prophet Joel. Thus saith the Lord, be converted to me with all your heart, in fasting and in weeping and in mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments, and turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, patient and rich in mercy, and ready to repent of the evil. Who knoweth but he will return and forgive, and leave a blessing behind him, sacrifice and libation to the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather together the people, sanctify the church, assemble the ancients, gather together the little ones and them that suck at the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth from his bed, and the bride out of her bride chamber. Between the porch and the altar, the priests, the Lord's ministers, shall weep and shall say, spare, O Lord, spare thy people, and give not thy inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Why should they say among the nations, where is their God? The Lord hath been zealous for his land, and hath spared his people. And the Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be filled with them, and I will no more make you a reproach among the nations, saith the Lord Almighty. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 16 to 21. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, who disfigure their faces in order to appear to men as fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But thou, when thou dost fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face, so that thou mayest not be seen fasting by men, but by thy Father, who is in secret. And thy Father, who sees in secret, will reward thee. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where rust and moth consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither rust nor moth consumes, nor thieves break in and steal. For where thy treasure is, there also will thy heart be. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, we have, although liturgically there are several days where the office of the Septuagesima season continues, we are now starting the season of Lent. But we have spent this time, hopefully, if we follow the liturgy, we have spent this time as we have been directed by our spiritual director, St. Paul, during these Sundays, to do an examination of conscience, recalling the beginning of time, recalling how Adam and Eve sinned, bringing original sin into the world, recalling how man degenerated so badly by actual sins that God purged the earth by the flood, saving Noah and his family. And then our director, St. Paul, tells us that as we examine those things, original sin and actual sin, thinking about our own sins, thinking about the vices that we have inculcated into ourselves by our sins, these vices that we carry with us, and picking out the predominant one, that predominant fault that we are going to attack starting now. That season was bringing us up to this point, to to get us ready, to know what we're attacking, so when we start today, we're attacking. And St. Paul at the end of the season tells us, and don't forget, as we're reminded today in the Mass texts, that it will be all for nothing unless we do it with charity, with love of God and neighbor. That's what everything's been up to now, getting us ready for this. And the church talks about it in the prayers as we begin this military campaign. Because we're fighting against, yes, our own sins, our faults. Why? Because they keep us chained. They are the chains that the devil uses to keep us from heaven. And we always think of St. John of the Cross, who said, that chain can be very heavy where we cannot move at all, or it can be the smallest thread that keeps us from flying to heaven, keeps that little bird from flying to heaven, that soul. So whether we're working against heavy chains during this season or we're just that thread, it doesn't matter. It's something that's holding us back from God. That's what we're about. And we think of these prophetic and great words, and we hear it often when Lent comes, but we're going to say it here at the beginning so we don't forget it. Just read it. This is from Pope Benedict XIV in an encyclical from May 29th, 1741. The observance of Lent is the bond of union in our army. By it, we are distinguished from the enemies of the cross of Christ. By it, we turn aside the chastisements of God's wrath. By its means, being guarded by heavenly support during the day, we fortify ourselves against the prince of darkness. If this observance comes to be relaxed, it is to the detriment of God's glory, to the dishonor of the Catholic religion, and to the peril of souls. Nor can it be doubted that such negligence will become a source of misfortune to nations, of disaster in public affairs, and of adversity to individuals. That's that prophetic side of what the Pope said centuries ago, and we've seen it come true. And, of course, he's alluding here, as the popes through history have reminded us from the very apostolic age, that these practices that we do come right from the apostles. Because they heard those opening words of our Lord, unless you do penance, you will surely perish. And so the apostles, hearing those words and putting them into practice, and there's the allusion in the prayers about the Ninevites, these were pagans. These were pagan people with the threat of destruction. We know the story. And the prophet comes to the people. God was merciful to them. He gave them a warning. Well, he gives everyone a warning. Here was our warning from the Pope. And he gave them a warning. And these pagans knew, they were not of the chosen people, but they knew, we have offended God. We must do something. And they did penance in sackcloth and ashes. This is an ancient way. And God spared them. So we know he will spare us if we practice penance. And we talk first about penance because during this season, the word we know has many meanings because of the different purposes. We have the sacrament, which is the great thing, the greatest part of penance. But here's the thing we need to, because as the Pope tells us, we are distinguished from the enemies of the cross of Christ, not only by the practice of it, of this penance during Lent, but because we know what we're doing. We're thinking of other religions that have some kind of a penitential season. Why? Do they even know what they're doing? See, this Pope is telling us, we know what we're doing, so we have to be informed. What are we doing? We know from Septuagesima, as we just set that out. What is happening? We're attacking original sin and actual sin, and then our predominant fault. How do we do that? God has given us the power to do it. He's given us sacraments, outward signs instituted by Christ to give us grace. And what are those sacraments that are going to fight and give us the power against original sin and actual sin? We know baptism and penance. And we know that this season, and again, we're trying to disconnect ourselves from those chains or that thread that the devil has us, because we want to fly to heaven. We want to be with our Lord as he rises. And so we know we have these sacraments. But during this season, the people who are getting ready for those sacraments, those people are going to be baptized. Those penitents who are going to receive the sacrament of penance, those are the people that we are imitating. And so how? We join with those people getting ready for baptism. We call them catechumens. We are like them during this season because we want to learn. We want to learn the catechism. We want to learn as much as we can about God, because the more we know, the more we can love. Knowledge does not translate into love unless we want it to. Because the devil knows a lot, but he has no love. And then against actual sin, we have the sacrament of penance. People are preparing for that. And so we are too. We are sorry for our sins with the virtue of penance. We detest our sins. We hate them. How much do we really do that? We want to do it. We think we do it. But do we really make that act of the will to hate those sins, those things that give us some illicit pleasure, and we do hold on to it? That's that thread. Even that just, it could be a chain, but it could be just that thread. We're going to get rid of it now in this life, or we have to get rid of those threads in purgatory. Why not now with merit? As the preface of the Mass tells us, everything about the liturgy is teaching us all these things. We just have to have our eyes and ears open, because that preface tells us that these practices that we're about to begin, that we're beginning now, are going to help us curb our vices. They're going to elevate our minds. They're going to give us the strength we need, and then the reward from all of this. So there's a reward. We're going to rise with our Lord at the end of this Paschal mystery that we're preparing for. So the works that we want to be doing during this season follow this pattern. By the way, you can see the structure. The Pope is telling us this is what distinguishes us from everyone else that practices penances. They have no idea what they're doing. We do. So this is what we're doing. How do we do it? Well, we're going to study during these days. We're going to hate our sins. We're going to work against them. And we do that by prayer, almsgiving, and fasting. The church imposes that to help us. The law makes us aware of how important these things are. That's why we have these laws of fasting and abstinence. So we know what we're about. Now, that's kind of the big picture. What is it that we're learning in today's liturgy? Well, of course, now after the sacraments, we have sacramentals. And ashes are one of the sacramentals of the greatest importance in the church. Again, what are they? They're like sacraments. They are outward signs. We all can see the ashes. We see them on us. We feel them. Throughout the day, perhaps you feel the ashes that you've received. Outward signs instituted by Christ through the church. So that's a distinction, not Christ directly, but through the church. and they give grace, not automatically. So it depends on, we heard about the purification candles. They are given, it is given to us by our own devotion, by that of the minister, by that of the church at the time. Those things all are factors. But we have to do our part. So we receive those ashes with as much devotion as we can. We have to make them a living thing for us, especially throughout this day, but throughout all of Lent. It's going to carry us through it. And what is it? It's taking us right back to the beginning of Septuagesima, that we are surrounded by death. It also looks forward, of course, to the Easter Vigil, where we hear the words of the opening words of Genesis again. Because the introit is also telling us, God has mercy on all he has created. He created it all good. It says it. We hear it again. The first day, second day, and God saw that what he had created was good. And he has not abandoned it despite the devil's getting in the way and tricking our first parents and having them commit sin. And the fulfillment of the punishment that God said, because you have done this, you will certainly die. And now on Ash Wednesday, it's all coming back to us, because God said, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. I created you out of the dust. We heard that whole description. Our Lord formed the body of Adam out of the clay of the earth. And as we know, man is a creature composed of body and soul. And then it says, then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And now God is telling us, as he told Adam, in the imposition of these ashes, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. So how many will die this year? We've had a lot of deaths since the last Ash Wednesday. How many of those people realized they would not see the next Ash Wednesday? Independent of age or health or any of those things, we could be next on the list. So that realization comes to us first. Remember that. Remember, you're not made for this world. We're going to get rid of those chains. We're going to snip that thread, because we want to fly to our Lord. And the Mass texts go on to tell us with this wonderful epistle from the prophet Joel. You can hear the dynamic of what's happening, because the church gives us these words of the Holy Ghost from sacred scripture and tells us, whatever you've been doing, the prophet is including everything you can possibly imagine, from the infant being born and nursed to the oldest people. Drop everything you're doing. That's what he's saying. And call everyone together, because we have a war to fight. And then, after he does that, then he says to the leaders of the army, he says, you ministers, you who serve at the altar, you have to lead the way. You have to be the ones. And we keep hearing these words of weeping for our sins repeated throughout the texts. You have to lead the way. That's the priest. You have to lead the way. Between the porch and the altar, you must pray. You must sacrifice. You must do penance for ourselves and for the people and for the families, and it goes on to our neighbors, the cities, the country, the world, the church. And then the dramatic play, all described in this epistle says, and God will hear. He will hear these prayers, these weepings, these lamentations. He will hear them. And he will give us corn. He will give us wine. He will give us oil. Does this sound like the elements of the sacraments? It sounds like it to me. And he's going to give these things when? Holy Thursday? When our Lord gives us the Holy Eucharist, the bread and the wine, and in the liturgy on Holy Thursday, the bishops, Christ's successors, give us the oil we need for the other sacraments. It's all here. And he gives us these things. And then our Lord, to state for the first time, St. Paul was simply reiterating what he had learned from our Lord when he tells us, it doesn't matter, well, you give your body for the faith and you suffer all these things and you speak with the tongues of angels and men and everything. It's all nothing without charity. He didn't make that up. Of course, he was inspired by the Holy Ghost. But he heard it from our Lord. And here is our Lord telling us in the Sermon on the Mount, first sermon he gave, this great constitution of the spiritual life, he is telling us, don't be like everyone else. We are distinguished from the enemies of the cross of Christ, the Pope tells us. We don't do these things just to be admired by everybody. Our Lord tells us they have received their reward. Your reward is in secret as you practice these things with the virtue of penance. You hate these evils. And we're going to work to get rid of them. And then the Mass continues. We already talked about the preface. But it tells us at the end, at the communion, it's a little bit of an interesting communion verse. Because as we meditate on your law, it's talking about. Because, and we get the interpretation of this, of course the liturgists help us along, but we get the interpretation from its placement in the Mass. It is placed at the communion because it's telling us, why are we learning all these things with the catechumens? Why are we doing all these things? We're learning the law. We're meditating on it. Why? So we can gain what we're all working towards, union with our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. All of it coming together at the Last Supper when our Lord institutes the Mass and the priesthood and the Holy Eucharist. That's what we're all working towards. And we have skipped the history of this day, but just to mention this part, if you recall, this was the day, as we said, the catechumens and the penitents. These were the public sinners that everybody knew, in these small communities, everybody knew who the worst person was. And so they would all gather together, and these penitents would hold each other's hands and hold the bishop. One of them would hold, and they would all come to the church doors and the imposition of the ashes. And then they would do their penances outside the church until they were absolved. And all the other people for centuries used to witness this. And you can imagine it, the feeling of shame. Because they knew, I'm a sinner too. This person just got caught. And by popular demand, it tells us when Pope Urban VI, 1091, just happened to see that, so I remember it. He finally bowed to the pressure of the faithful and said, we're all sinners. We all will get the ashes. So we're all together, holding each other's hands, holding the priest's hand, coming in and getting ready for Easter. And at this Mass, when we receive Holy Communion, we want to promise our Lord that we're going to be faithful to all these things we're making our resolution for now. Because we want to go to heaven. And if any of us are called during this year, this will be our best Lent. Let's not neglect it. May God bless you.